God loves to tell stories. He is actually the master storyteller. If you look in the Old Testament, you'll see hundreds of stories. And if you actually read the Gospels, you will see that the number one way that Jesus used to teach truth was by telling stories, parables, earthly stories with a heavenly meaning, parables. Now, Jesus was the master storyteller, and he loved to tell stories. Most of you in this room are not going to remember what I preach today, next Sunday. But if I tell you a story, you'll remember that story. I go to places years later, sometimes months later, but years later, and people will come up to me and go, "Yanni, remember, you preached our congregation. Do you remember that story you told us about this or about that?" They don't remember my message, but they remember the story. There's something powerful about telling a story. Which brings me to the title of my message this morning. Everyone's got a story. Everyone's got a story. Now, before I go there, I just want to ask, who agrees with the following statement? The statement says, a follower of Christ has the responsibility to share his or her faith in Christ with other people. Does everyone agree with that? Okay, is there anybody who doesn't agree with that? Okay, so who lives by that statement? It's one thing to agree with that statement. It's another thing to live by it. A recent survey of regular church attendees was taken, and the following question was asked. Why does the church exist? Why does the church exist? And I want you to think about that for a moment. What would your answer be? What would your answer be? Why does the church exist? Out of 1,000 respondents of regular churchgoers, 89% of them said, the church exists to satisfy my spiritual needs and those of my family. So that's 9 out of 10 people who walk through that back door, come into church thinking, you're here to serve my needs. You're here to make me happy. You're here to serve my family. Now let me state the obvious. We all have spiritual needs, every single one of us. And church is a great place, the best place to have those spiritual needs met. In our church, we try and direct everybody to the person who can answer every one of your spiritual needs, your emotional needs, and your physical needs. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the eye-opener of that survey. 11% said the purpose of the church was to share Christ with others. 11%. So 90% of the people who walk through the church door say, church is about me, it's for me. The secondary purpose of the church is about them. The primary purpose of this church is for the people who are filling the seats this morning. The secondary purpose of the church is for those seats that are not filled. I'm absolutely convinced that this would break the heart of Jesus. 2 weeks ago, we had an outreach service. And Christ himself asked you to invite people to his church. I invited 7 people. 4 came. How many did you invite? I urge you, my brothers and sisters, we're going to continue with outreach services on a regular basis. And the thing is, what you must realize, an outreach service and inviting someone is not about going up to someone on Saturday evening and going to the pick and pay teller and saying, come to church with me tomorrow. Because chances are, they're not going to come. You've got to start praying now. Start praying now for the Lord to lay someone on your heart, in your circle of influence, to walk a road with. It's about building a relationship with someone. When you have a relationship with someone, you can say to them, come to church with me. And I urge you again, don't just say, come to church. Say, I'd love to pick you up. Take them by the hand and bring them to the house of Jesus. There should be no empty seats in our church. And I'm absolutely convinced, as I said, that 1 out of 10 people saying church is for the people out there would break the heart of Jesus. And you know why? Let me put yourselves in a scenario. Say you were going to leave all your loved ones and never see them again. Leave every single loved person you know. Your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister, your kids, your cat, your canary, your dog. And you were never going to see them again. What would you tell them? Those that you love. What would you tell them if you were never going to see them again? Some of you might say, please look after my children and make sure they get a good education. Others might say, please take care of my cats and make sure they're well looked after. Others may say, please make sure that the family business continues to run so that the legacy can live on. If I were to leave, never to see my loved ones again, I would go to my beautiful wife, Kat, and say to her, my darling, I'm going to miss you and I love you. What would you say to your loved ones? Whatever you say is going to be the most pressing thing on your heart. Do you agree with that? So Jesus is about to leave the earth. He's about to ascend into heaven. And before he ascends, he's got final words for his beloved church. And this is the scripture we're going to focus on this morning. The scripture is Acts 1, 8 and 9. And this is what Jesus says, and it's up here on the screen. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. The reason Jesus said this last is because it was the most pressing thing on his heart. Also, I think, you know, the last thing you say in a conversation is normally what people hear. So ringing in the ears of the disciples as they see Jesus rising into the heavens is his words, which say, I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. You are going to be my witnesses. I know some of you are already going through your excuse folder, trying to pull out an excuse why you cannot witness for Christ. Oh, I don't know how to do that. Oh, no, I'm far too shy for that. No, that's not my personality type. No, that's outside my comfort zone. Or the most ridiculous one of them all. Oh, no, that's the pastor's job. If you will be open to what I'm sharing this morning, you will enter one of the most fulfilling parts of being a Christian. And I want to share with you 4 simple keys this morning on how to share your story. So, 1, God has given you the responsibility to share your story. If we go back to that scripture, in Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Who is the you that Jesus is referring to here? He's talking to you. You means you too. You. When he said these things, he never said, "You pastors, you ministers, you church staff people, you anointed people, you spiritual people, you religious people." He just said, "You." And who was he making the statement to at the time? Tax collectors, fishermen, farmers, homemakers, regular people like you and me, everybody, young and old, male and female, people just like me and you. Another recent survey done on church says the following statistic: between 75 and 90% of all people, listen to that statistic, 75 to 90% of all people who dedicate their lives to Christ do so because a friend or an acquaintance sat down and shared their story on a one-to-one basis. My brothers and sisters, please listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. God does not have a plan B. If we will not be his witnesses, there will be no witness. We are plan A, and there is no other plan. Plan A is the only plan that there is. We will either be witnesses for this world, or there will be no witness. Someone once said the following: Christ alone can save the world, but Christ will not save the world alone. You see, Jesus could do very easily, he could do a Damascus Road experience. Supernaturally, he could give the same experience that he gave the Apostle Paul on the way to Damascus. He could do that for every single person. And to be honest, it would be the most effective and quickest way to save the world. But Jesus said, "You know what? That's not how I want to do things. That's not how my plan works. I want you to be part of this. I want my redeemed, that's you and me, I want my redeemed to be part of my redemption." He loves us so much, he wants to be able for us to say, "I helped bring people to Jesus." I challenge you, go anywhere in the Bible where there's a command to evangelize, share your story, share the gospel. It's never given to one single individual. It's always a command to everybody, the you. In Acts 2:32, Peter says the following. It's up there. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses to it. No one gets a free pass. One day you're going to stand before God, and excuses like, "I was too shy. It wasn't my personality type. It's outside my comfort zone. I don't know how to witness." Those excuses are not going to cut it with God. Everyone has the responsibility. Everyone has the responsibility. Now I realize that some of you are sitting there feeling a little bit uncomfortable. And that's okay. I'm going to ease the burden off for you a little bit. Because when somebody gives you the responsibility to do something, they need to give you something else in order to affect that. And that brings me to my second point. God has granted you the authority to share your story. God has granted you the authority to share your story. Listen again to what Jesus is commanding us to do. "You will be my witness." Now I want to focus on that word witness for a little bit. That word witness is derived from the Old English word wit, which means to know, So witness is somebody who knows. A witness is simply somebody who testifies of what they know, what they've seen, or what they've heard. Jesus says in John 3:11, "Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify of what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our witness." Acts 22:15 says the following, "You will be his witnesses to all people of what you have seen and heard." You simply tell people what you've seen and what you've heard. How many of you have ever been a witness at a trial? I was actually a witness at a trial last week. Remember, we got broken into a couple of months ago, and I had to go and be a witness at the trial. Now, I was called to be a witness at that trial because I was an authority on what I had seen, what I had heard, and what I knew. All I had to do was tell the truth. I didn't have to make a case. I didn't have to persuade the magistrate. All I was a witness, telling people what I see, what I heard, or what I know. Now, the Bible says witness, and some people misunderstand and hear the word salesman. The Bible's not talking about a salesman. Okay? Jesus says, "I want you to be my witness." Not my prosecuting attorney, not my defense counsel, and not judge, my witness. My witness. A witness is simply someone who shares their story. Here is what I know. Here is what I've seen. Here is what I've heard. Now, if you are a follower of Christ, you have a story to tell. And each person's story is going to be different. No one's going to tell a story like Yanni, because I am Yanni. God made each one of us individually. So the way you tell your story will carry your own personality, your own style, your own way. There's no wrong way or right way to tell your story. It's your story. You can tell it how you want. So God not only gives us the responsibility to share our story and grants us the authority to share our story, there's still something else. In order to carry out the sharing of the story, there's something else that we need. And guess what? Number three, God has guaranteed the ability to share your story. God has guaranteed you the ability to share your story. If we go back to what Jesus says, and this is actually the key for me in this whole scripture. Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." If sharing your story frightens you, you have a secret weapon. And that secret weapon is the Holy Spirit of God. God is saying, I don't want you to share your story in your own power. I want you to share your story in my power. I don't want you to share your story in your strength. I want you to share your story in my strength. The good news for every follower of Christ is through the Holy Spirit, you can share your story effectively. God has given you the presence, the power, and the person of the Holy Spirit to do that effectively. Sharing your story is a team effort. You have a teammate, and that teammate is the Holy Spirit. Acts 5:32 says the following, "We are witnesses of these things." And here's the part I love. "And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." God says sharing your story is so important that I'm not going to let you do it on your own. It's so important to me sharing your story that I don't want you to do it by yourself. I don't want you to do it without me. So, my brothers and sisters, sharing your story is not dependent on your personality or your persuasiveness or your position. It is dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's some great news for you. For those of you who were here last Sunday, Kat shared a message about the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you are a follower of Christ, you have that power. You have that power inside you. You can have that same power of God in your heart. Some people think that the Holy Spirit is only for some kind of superstars. Yeah. Reinhard Bonnke has the Holy Spirit. And yes. Angus Buchan has the Holy Spirit. And closer to home, yes. C.S. LaRue, he definitely has the Holy Spirit. Everybody, every follower of Christ can have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not come in different sizes. A small size for Yanni, a big size for Derek, and a medium size for Martha. One Spirit. And let me tell you, Jesus carried that same Spirit in Him when He came to earth. When Jesus came to earth to walk as a man, He came forgoing His divine power. So He came as a man. He didn't come with godly power. However, every single miracle He did, every single miracle, the healing of people, raising of the dead, all of that was done by the same Holy Spirit that lives within you. Same Holy Spirit. Jesus walked the earth with the Holy Spirit. We walk the earth with the Holy Spirit as followers of Christ. I want to look at a biblical example. Let's look at the disciples. Let's look at them a few chapters before the book of Acts. They were wimps, cowards. The Garden of Gethsemane, they ran like scalded dogs. Not one of them stood for Christ. Peter was so scared, he didn't deny Jesus once, not twice, but three times Peter denied Jesus. They were hiding behind closed doors. They were terrified. Go a few chapters forward into Acts. What do you see? They're standing on street corners. They're going to the synagogues. They're going to the temples. They're knocking on people's houses, door to door, telling anybody who will listen to them, "This is how Jesus Christ radically changed my life." What happened between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the book of Acts? What was different? The environment wasn't different. Nothing had changed. The 11 disciples hadn't just graduated from Bible school. They hadn't just completed a course in positive thinking. What was the difference between the Gospels and the book of Acts? The power of the Holy Spirit. God sent the Holy Spirit to them. And when the power of God entered them, they realized, wow, we can do this. Because He can do it through me. You activate that power by obedience. I want to say that again. You activate the power of the Holy Spirit by obedience. And I'm going to give you an example. Because I'm sure there's some of you sitting out there and saying, how come I don't feel that power? I know there's people sitting here in this room today saying, how come I don't feel that power? Okay, say Yanni had a supernatural ability to give Jerry, you're always in front and I always pick on you. Okay, I'll pick on Andre just for a change. If I had the supernatural ability to give Andre the power to lift his car, unless Andre goes to his car and lifts it, he will never know he has that power. That power is wasted until he activates it. God has given you the power to share your story. But you need to activate it. You need to take a step of faith. Sometimes you even need to be nudged. I want to share a story that will kind of tie up what I've been saying. The responsibility, the authority and the ability. And 2009, I know I go there a lot because Kat and I went to India. And the one day we were going for an outreach to the pastor came to us and he says, "We're going to Samaria." So I'm thinking, is he talking about Samaria? Is this like a biblical connotation here? But he was actually saying slum area, Samaria. And let me tell you, the whole of India looks like a slum area to me. So when a pastor says to you, an Indian pastor says, "I'm taking you to a slum area," you have got to hold on to your seat, because what you are going to see is beyond your imagination. So we stop our bus, sort of like just on the corner of the slum area, and as I get off the bus, this old lady, she must have been, I don't know, she looked 80. She came up to me, skinny, gray hair, gaunt face. She came up to me and she put out her hand, and I said, she didn't understand me, but I said it anyway. I said, "Sorry, I don't have any money," because we don't travel with money when we're on missions. So she goes, I said to her, "I'm sorry, I don't have any food. I don't have any food." So she looks at my hand, and I'm carrying a bottle of water with about that much water in, and she points to the water. It's 40 degrees out there, and this woman has no water to drink. So we walk. I give her the water. We walk to the edge of the slum area. Now, we're all a bit freaked out because a huge portion, maybe a couple of acres, had just been burnt down. It was still kind of smoldering, just black. Obviously, there was a fire there. And so just to align ourselves with the Spirit, we start to worship, just start to sing. We're about to go on house visits, to go house to house to pray for people's needs. We start to sing. We're in a circle, we're singing. Next moment we look up, there's a crowd of people in front of us. And Richard, bless his heart, he says to me, "Yanni, you're up." So I said, what do you mean I'm up? So he says, "Share something with these people." So I said, "Richard, I haven't prepared anything. I thought we were coming here for home visits. What do you want me to share?" So he says, "Share whatever you want." So he lays his hand on me and says, "Holy Spirit of God, help Yanni to share. Amen." So there I am, standing, crowd much bigger than this. And the first thing I do is I start to cry. God supernaturally gives me this massive compassion while I'm standing in front of these people. This massive compassion for these people. So I start to cry. I don't know what I'm going to say. Next thing, the Lord puts a perfectly formed sentence in my head. "I will never understand your suffering." And then they started to flow. Every single sentence was put in my head. I was speaking. I was speaking God's word. I stood there almost as an instrument of God. I felt like a loudspeaker. As the sentence formed in my head, I would just speak it. Tears streaming down my face. I looked to my left, the interpreter, because we speak through an interpreter. He's crying. I look at the people in front. They're crying. The power of the Holy Spirit is burning across this crowd. I look at our team. Everybody's crying. The Lord says to me, "Do an altar call." Now you have to understand, I've never in my entire life shared a message in front of people, spoken about the gospel in front of people. This is the first time in my entire life. You see me here today. I'd never, ever, ever done it before. God says, "Do an altar call." Obediently, do an altar call. Most of the crowd comes forward. We lead them in a salvation prayer. And I start to explain to them that they're now spiritual babies and they need to slot into a church and blah, blah, blah. And there's muttering in the crowd in front. So I say to the interpreter, "What's going on?" So they said, "No, when the fire came, the only pastor in the slum area decided that this place, God doesn't want anyone here. So he left. He packed his bags and left." So I said, "Okay." So Lord dropped something in my heart, prayer of faith. So I said, all right, we're gonna pray a prayer of faith. All of us, we're going to pray in agreement right now. We're going to pray that the Lord brings somebody to look after you people, to walk a road with you, to show you the way. So we pray a prayer of faith, do a lot of ministry afterwards, go and do our house-to-house visits. And a couple of days later, we hear that one of the pastors that we are traveling with, because we normally go with a couple of pastors from the local areas, he was so moved by what happened, by the power of the Holy Spirit that day, that he committed to go and start a church in that slum area. So praise God. So that testimony highlights my last point for this morning. And that is, you need one more thing to share your story. So you have the responsibility. I think I've got them up there. Responsibility. You've got the authority. You have the ability. And number four, which isn't on there, God, just there. God will guide you to the opportunity to share your story. Look at what Jesus says in the last part of that verse in Acts. He promises us something. He says, you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Let me ask you something. Where does God give us the opportunity to share our stories? Three different places. The first one, kind of obvious this morning. Opportunities internationally. Jesus says, you will go to the ends of the earth. And that is why we have spent so much time and so much effort and so much finances to go to the Ukraine on Wednesday, because Jesus commanded it. The second place where we can share our story is nationally. There are opportunities nationally. Understand, not everyone has the faith to trust for finances to go to the Ukraine. But you know, little Ruan, who normally plays the drums here? You know Ruan? Okay, Ruan. Ruan, for long story, he couldn't make the Ukraine mission. But that didn't stop him. On the 3rd of July, Ruan is going on a national, local mission to Springbok in the Northern Cape. And you know, for Ruan to trust for 1,250 Rand for his mission trip is probably the same as us who trusted for 15,000 Rand for our mission trip. But you know what? God's already come through for him. Ruan's going. Nationally. God will give us opportunities nationally. The last one. Thirdly, where can we share it? Locally. Where was Jesus standing when he said, you will be my witness in Jerusalem? Where was he standing? In Jerusalem. So, what do you think he means by that? I think he means, I'm going to bring people across your path where you work, where you live, and where you play. I'm going to bring the people to you. And you're going to have an opportunity to build relationship with them. You're going to have an opportunity to share your story with them and invite them to church. Let me ask you, why do you think you live where you live? Do you think it's a coincidence that you live in the Franschhoek Valley? Why do you think you work where you work? Do you think it's a coincidence that you do what you do? Why do you think you have a certain neighbor or doctor or gardener? Do you think that's a coincidence? My brothers and sisters, those are paths. Those are paths and opportunities that God has put in front of you. Realize this. The street that you live in, there's people waiting to hear your story. The person that you've worked next to for 3 years is waiting to hear your story. those three guys that you play golf with every Thursday. Why do you think you play golf with those three guys every Thursday? Why do you think you coach that particular cricket team? Why do you think you bump into that certain person at the gym every week? God wants you to share your story with them. There are all kinds of opportunities out there. Start at home. Do it locally. Do it locally. Right here in the Valley of Franschhoek. I'm going to ask you, my brothers and sisters, just to stand with me this morning. Just going to ask you to close your eyes as well. Sometimes you will share your story with people and they will be unresponsive. That's all right. Your job is simply to share your story. The results is God's job. You just do the sharing part. It's not your job to save people. It's your job to share. It's the job of Jesus to do the saving. Some of you are here this morning, sitting right where you are, standing right where you are right now. You are going to heaven and not hell for one reason. Because somebody at some point in your life loved you enough to look you in the eye and share their story with you. I'm not sure if there's anyone this morning who struggles to witness for Christ. I don't know, maybe you want to raise your hand, just bring it before God. If you struggle to witness, maybe there's someone out there who's too shy to share their story with not even strangers, but friends and family. I want us to pray together. I want to pray together a prayer. If you want the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. Raise both your hands to the heavens. If you want the power of God, I know some of you have been struggling with your Christian walk, frustrated with where you are, stumbling and seeming to get nowhere. I think some of you may be lacking the power of God. So this morning, I ask you, if you are eager, and if you are hunger, if you have a hunger, and if you ache for more of that power, raise your hands to heaven, both your hands. I'm going to ask all of us to say a prayer after me. The prayer is very simple. Lord Jesus, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I invite you to fill and possess me. I yield to your power and your work in my life. Please equip me with your gifts, Holy Spirit. Thank you for baptizing me in the Holy Spirit now. Amen. Sounds simple. It is simple. A yielding heart. Father, I just thank you that I can bring all my brothers and sisters and myself before you this morning, Lord, knowing that we want more of you, Lord. And Father, the church is not about the people in this building, Lord. We need to be focused outwards, Lord. We thank you for the incredible opportunity that you've given this fellowship to send a team to the Ukraine, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of sending Ruan to Springbok, and we send him with all the blessings and the same sending as the Ukrainian team got this morning, Lord. In the Spirit, Lord, may he be used powerfully. Work through him and in him, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father, that each one of us right now in this room is a missionary for Christ. Our Christian walk should be a lifestyle, not an event that happens on Sunday morning and on Wednesdays in small group. But every step, every conversation we have, every person that the Lord Jesus Christ pulls across your path is for a reason. You are where you are for a reason. You're in Franschhoek because you're not in Johannesburg. You're a doctor because you're not a teacher. I thank you, Father, that you've individually placed each one of us. And Lord, where you place each one of us, there are specific opportunities. Lord, there's people that I will never be able to reach because I don't even come across their paths. But Lord, each person here has been given the responsibility to share their story, has been given the authority, a command from Jesus, go into the world and be my witness. They've been given the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to share their story, but we need to activate that power. So I thank you, Father God, that today that people will step out in boldness, step out in faith. And Lord, I'm just reminded of that testimony I shared from India, Lord. I believe that that step of faith, that nudge of faith, Lord, was a very significant step of where I'm standing today. So be bold. And remember, it's not your job to save. You are not a salesman. You are a witness. A witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. So I thank you, Father, for abundant opportunities and the power of the Spirit and the wisdom of God of what to say, when to say, and how to say it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.